Yeah, that's right. I almost bought them one at Walmart. Luke chapter 6, except I'm too cheap. I'm on a budget now. Luke chapter 6. Going to be reading from verse 31 to 36 today. Luke chapter 6, starting at 31. Treat others the same way you want them to treat you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those to whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners in order to receive back the same amount. But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. For he himself is kind to ungrateful and evil men. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you so much for this truth of your word. Thank you, Lord, for the point that he was trying to get across to the Israelites here. The perfection that is required, Father, and what that should show us. Lord, I pray that as we get into this, that you would help us free us from our own efforts, Lord. Free us from our own fleshly efforts to try and be what you want us to be spiritually. Help us, Father, to understand what you have for us today. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. As we get into this, I want to understand that Luke, the writer of this gospel, is the only Gentile writer. He wrote it to show the humanity of Jesus Christ, the fact that he was 100% man. He wrote it to be precise, very precise in the details, show the births, show the ministries of John and of Jesus, how Jesus started his ministry and the healings that went on and what he proclaimed. And then when he chose the 12, this was a big event because he had so many followers. He had so many disciples following him, wanting to be part of that group, wanting him to become the king of Israel, wanting him to take over so that he could defeat Rome, so that they could be in prominence again, have that spiritual kingship. And yet, that wasn't his plan. But he chose the 12. And those 12 believed the same thing. They wanted to help him to lead the country. They wanted to help him be the physical king that they thought he should be. And all the other followers did too. But he chose those 12. And then he goes down to the mountain and then he has a sermon. He gives a sermon. And that sermon was directed towards those who were following him, the disciples following him, not just the 12, but all of those who wanted to give up their time, to give up even their businesses, to put him into power, to make that nation great again, just like it had been. Remember what's in their mind. Just like it had been in the days of Moses. Just like it had been in the days of the kings. With Moses, what happened with Moses? And the people will ask him about that too later on. But with Moses, they had manna. They ate manna. They ate quail. They didn't have anything wear out. Their clothes didn't wear out anything. It was a great system. They didn't really have to work for anything. And so that's what they were looking at. They were wanting what would satisfy their fleshly desire for power or substance or whatever it was. But they wanted him to be a king, a physical king. So he starts this sermon. And it's much the same as the one in Matthew 5, the Sermon on the Mount. It could be the same one and just given different points of it, or it could be a completely different sermon, but it has a lot of the same stuff. So Luke here, he's coming from his aspect. We've already looked at the Beatitudes and why they are there. We looked at the fact that we're to love enemies, the enemies, do good, bless those, and pray for those who mistreat. And we're talking about persecution here because of their true need. Their true need is to understand Christ. Their true need is to have that relationship that they need. But we're talking about a perfect standard, which only Jesus Christ has done. And so, again, we're not talking, Jesus wasn't saying you need to try really hard to obtain this. Jesus was saying, you know what? You cannot obtain this. Therefore, you need a Savior. That's what his point eventually will be. But in doing this, he's giving them what they thought they had. And we'll see that today. We're looking at the perfect standard continued. We started it last week. We're going to continue it here. If you start in verse 31, we talk about the golden rule. The golden rule we've heard about for so long. Treat others the same way you want them to treat you. Now, most of the time when you hear the golden rule, it's more don't do something to others that you don't want them to do to you. It has a negative aspect for it. And that's how the rabbis of that day taught it. That's what they taught. If you don't want somebody treating you this way, you don't treat them that. It was a preventative thing. But he takes it and turns it completely around. And he says to treat or to do, and this is an imperative, to be proactive in your doing. He says, treat them the same way you want, treat others the same way you want them to treat you. Now, how do we really want to be treated? There's the question. How do we really want to be treated? Because I would put out to you that most of the time we want to be treated by others out of the true goodness of their heart without them finding any fault in us. That's a hard thing to do, is it not? I mean, even when we approach others, oftentimes there are several things going on in our mind. So this is a perfect standard. I want you to recognize this is a perfect standard. Okay? So can we really do that? It's the question. Let's look at the different distinctive life in verse 32 and through 34. It says, if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. Now remember, he's talking to Israelites here. And he says the word if, right there at the beginning, it's what's called a first class condition in the original. And that means you can replace that with since. He says, since you're doing this, and I believe what he's saying is, since you think you are actually doing this, right? Because he uses the word agape love, which is a God-type love. It's an absolute, it's an unconditional love. But he uses that word, I believe, because it is a choice. Whereas the other word for love, phileo, is an affectionate love, a very feeling type of. The word agape is a choice. It's a choosing to love. All right? And he's using that for a purpose. Because he says here in verse 32, since you think you absolutely love like God does those who love you like God does, you see what he's saying is, since you think you've got this figured out, and look at what it says. If you love those, since you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Now look what he compares it with. Because he says, at the end of that verse, he says, for even sinners love those who love them. Now the reason he uses the word sinners is because that's what the Jew would have referred to when he talked about anyone who wasn't a Jew. Whether it's Gentile, or whether it was a tax collector especially, or whether it was a harlot, or whatever. These were the people that were not associated with God. Because God associated himself with Israel. And we are so proud of our nation, and he has made us the righteous people, and we have it figured out. We have God, and you guys don't. So you're all sinners. See, that was the attitude that the Jew had. Remember when, and I think we're going to get to it, but when the man who was healed by Jesus, the blind man healed, and he went to the Pharisees and told them what happened, and they said, oh, I can't be right. Something's wrong here. Tell us again. And he says, I've already told you once. Do you want to accept this guy too? Do you want to believe this guy too? And they said, who are you who were born entirely into sin? You sinner. Because you're opposing us. And we're the leaders of Israel. See the pride going on there? Well, the people that were following him, the disciples were following, they wanted him to be the king. But many of those same people, recognize this, many of those same people a few years in the future are going to be crying, crucify him. Because he didn't match up to their expectations. So Jesus is presenting the perfect standard here. And he's saying, look, since you love them, but you're loving them just because they love you. Sinners do that same thing. And did you notice any? And he says it three times. He says in verse 32, what credit is that to you? In verse 33, what credit is that to you? In verse 34, what credit is that to you? And this was the fun thing. Because Jesus himself is presenting the aspect that we live by. He is presenting the word credit here is actually the word charis. It's the word that we translate grace. So he says, all right, since you're doing it, if you think you're doing this, and if you're just loving the ones who are loving you, what grace is that for you? You're not showing grace, you're not gaining grace. What unmerited favor is that? What grace is that to you? And see, what was exciting about that is that Jesus is going to be doing everything that he's saying here. He's making it very well known that the people cannot do this, but he will. And he will do it to give out that grace. We have gotten grace from God because of what he has done. We have been graced. We have been given unmerited favor. We don't deserve a relationship with God. We don't deserve, we haven't worked for it enough. And yet he gives it because he loves us. But what he's pointing out to these folks is that you think you're loving, but you're doing it just so that others will love you. And even those people who you consider to be sinners do that exact same thing. So what's the difference? Go on. Verse 33. If you do good to those who do good to you. In other words, do good and noble things. Do the high things. What grace is that? What grace is that? Even sinners do the same. Look at verse 34. If you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners in order to receive the same. So in other words, there is no distinction in your life because you have God. Remember, they had a history of God. They had thousands of years, a couple thousand years, where God has used the nation of Israel to show the world himself. God chose the nation of Israel. And he has worked through the nation of Israel, Father Abraham being their father. He has worked through the nation of Israel and to show the world how God works and how to share the love of God with the world. He wanted to do that with Israel. Israel said, no, love of God's ours. Everything about God's ours. You can't have any. God set aside Israel. Now he's using the church. The church being not this building, not just this church, this local body here, but the body of Christ. He's using the body of Christ to show love to the world. We have a great advantage. We have a great, wonderful advantage in that God is showing his love to the world through us. But he says here, there's a perfect sense. He's showing the disciples, not his disciples, but the disciples who wanted to be his disciples. He's showing them the standard that he has. So he's taking it from a head knowledge to a heart issue. From a head knowledge to a heart issue. He says, you're just loving people because others love, they'll love you back. Even those people that you consider to be sinners, they do that. Doing good to people, so they'll do good to you. You consider them as sinners, yet they're doing the same thing. How about lending to people? And the word lending there is in a business sense. It's actually a business word, and it means lending out with interest. Now, the problem that Israel had, especially with that, is under the law, on the seventh year, they had to erase all the debts. So for those who farmed and for those who needed the capital, it was really hard to get a loan on the sixth year. They didn't want to lend it to them. because they might lose everything. But don't worry, the rabbis were good lawyers. They found a loophole. They found a loophole that they could make them go ahead and pay. You know, so were they any different than us? Absolutely not. And that's what he's pointing out. He's saying, look, you think you've got God. You think you've got him all wrapped. You think you're righteous. And he's talking to self-righteous people here. Those were the mindset of a history of God, whose God's worked in their history, all through Israel's history. We've got him. Those sinners out there don't have him. We've got them. They need to be like us. All right? So he's working with people with that history. We need to go out and conquer those people. We need to show them what's what. And now we've got this leader, this Jesus, who can do it. And we'll back him and we'll follow him and maybe he'll let us be part of the leadership. All right? So that's the mindset that he's working with here. And he's showing them what a perfect following is. He says to do good. And by the way, the word if there in the 32 and 33, that's not a first class condition, that's a third class condition, which means if this is possible, even if it's possible you can do good to those who, so that they'll do good to you. And if it's possible even for you to lend money out, you're lending it out to the people who's going to return it, not to... If you might lend it out, you might lend it out. You're going to lend it to the people who's going to return it. So there's no difference between you and those people you call sinners, those people you look down on. Look in... because we're talking about God's standard here. Look in the summary of this. He's going to sum it all up here. Verse 35 and 6. He says, but... And that word but is not Allah. It's not on the complete other hand. It's actually a word... is the word, but it actually means on the same vein, on the same line of thinking here. But I'm telling you this, he says, but love your enemies, do good, lend, expecting nothing in return. And here's going to be your reward. Your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he himself is kind and to the ungrateful and evil men. Folks, when he said this, I think their ears were popping up and their eyes were going, you've got to be kidding. God is kind to the ungrateful and evil? Really? They didn't have that view of God. They didn't understand how much he really loved them. But he says, love them, do good, lend, all of them imperatives. This is the ultimate standard of perfection here. And it's exactly what Jesus is going to do. And expect nothing in return. He says, just live in obedience. And your reward, what you see is important. You know, it's funny. Because we like to take this and say, okay, now do all these things and you'll get rewarded. That's not what he's saying here. He's saying, if you could do all these things perfectly with this perfect standard, your reward would be fascinating. It would be everything you think would be great. Not only that, but, verse 35, you will be sons of the Most High. You'll be sons of the Most High. For he himself is kind to the ungrateful. In other words, if you are practicing, and they thought they were, folks, if you are practicing these type of things, if you are doing this except for the right reasons, for grace, if you are, loving, if you are loving your enemies and not getting anything back, that's grace. If you are doing good to them and not getting anything in return, that's grace. If you are lending them and not getting anything back for it, that's grace. He says, if you can hold that type of perfect standard, not only will your rewards, what you think is great, will be great, but you'll be sons of God. And I believe he's using that in the same way as he is son of God, uniquely the son of God. In other words, having the same nature as God. And he says it, because this is what God does. He himself is kind to the ungrateful and evil men. Because it says, you will be. The word it says, you will be, that's actually in the middle voice, which means that the one acting is acting upon it. The one doing it is the one responsible. So he's saying, if you can do this, if you can love them perfectly, if you can do all of this, you will be, in and of yourself, sons of God. Because this is what he does. And in fact, the next verse, look at the next verse. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. The word be there, it's in the middle voice. Do that. Why? Because your Father is. You know what? What he's saying here is, look, all of these things are under the law. All of these things you should do, but if you can do them perfectly, then you got it made. Then you can become son of God in and of yourself. What he's pointing out to them is they can't. And they are going, at some point, they're going to get mad at him. They're going to stop following him. Now, we like to take this and look at it and say, well, we need to try really hard to. Is there anything wrong with these things? Do good to your enemy. Love your enemies. Do good to them who misuse you. Is there anything wrong with these? There's nothing wrong with them. This is a perfect standard. And it's not that we shouldn't do these things. It's that we can't. But as hard as I try, I cannot do good with the right attitude to my enemy. I cannot do good to those who mistreat and hate me. I have this flesh I struggle with. So as hard as I try, I'm not going to be good enough. And that's his point in this whole sermon, is to show that as much as you think you can do this yourself, because he's talking to self-righteous people. He's talking to what we would consider a church of people who think they got it made and got it all figured out. That's what he's talking to. And he's saying, look, if you can do that perfectly, then you're in. But they can't. And he needs them to recognize that they can't. And I think this was confusing to them. Because he says, look, you're doing loving just so you can get love. Sinners do that. People you consider to be sinners do that. You're doing good so those will do good to you. People who are sinners, you consider them to be sinners. They can't do that. So he's not giving you a list of how to try harder or what to do to try harder. He's giving you a list of what is perfect. He's giving you a list of what Jesus does, what he is going to do. Jesus himself is doing this. And he's telling them what he himself is going to do. Now, the great thing about that is a picture of grace. Because what Jesus did was love his enemies who put him on the cross. What Jesus did is do good to us when we were saying, I don't want you, God. What Jesus did is lend to us. I mean, the world is his. He has given so much to us, and he expects nothing of it in return. He gave his life on the cross. And it's a free gift. He says, here it is. I want you to have salvation. He doesn't expect anything. There's nothing we can give him that he doesn't already own. I can't give him all my money and he can say, whoopee, now I'm richer. It's his. There's nothing good in me. But these people didn't understand that. And oftentimes we don't. We think we can be good enough. And we need to look at this and read it and recognize the fact that we, in the middle voice, me doing it myself, am not good enough. But God can do it through us. You see, what these people needed and what he needed to show them was that they couldn't do it in and of their own heart. But God gives us a new heart. God works through us because God loves the people who are persecuting us, the people who are doing whatever, the people who are misusing. God loves them and wants them to understand how much he loves them. So the one thing that I don't want you to do is take this as a set of rules. Okay, here's your rules. You got to do this week or you're not sons of God. Folks, we started out as not sons of God. And he made us sons of God because he took what Jesus did, which was this right here. He took that and he put it on our account. And he took my sin that I did and he put it on Jesus' account when he was on the cross. And Jesus died for those sins that I striving, I want to do it, I think I should do it, and I have the wrong attitude, I have the wrong heart, or I have the wrong actions, it doesn't matter, I'm not good enough. And that was his point here. His point, and this is one of the first times I know that he is presenting the aspect of grace, which is something that we live by, something that we hold on to tightly, because grace is unmerited favor. God gave us favor. And look at here, he says in 36, he says, be merciful. That's withholding. In other words, not giving them what they deserve. Not giving us what we deserve. Punishment. Hell. It's what we deserve. But he doesn't give that to us if we've trusted in his son. So the whole aspect of this sermon isn't to make us do the right thing. It's to make us look to the right person. Look to the right God so that he can do the right thing through us. Because we can't. We can't. He makes the law impossible, which it was. And he's making a lot of self-righteous people mad here, showing the true nature of love, what it truly is. So then the question is, so we shouldn't do any of this? Well, we can't do any of it in and of ourselves. Only when he's leading us, we can show true godly love. Even to persecutors, we can show them true godly love. Because who is in the most need of the truth then? Those without Christ. The ones that God desires in his kingdom. So the standard of love here is perfect. And that's why we are so deficient. Because the standard is perfect. But that's why Christ is so proficient in this. And what he has done for us is amazing. His perfect action to this standard is put on our account. We died in him. We are buried and raised together with Christ. That's in Romans chapter 6. We can love others through us to help them understand God's love. So what are we to do? Rest in him. Yield to him as he leads. Yield to him. Follow his lead. Let him work through us. Instead of saying, no, I want my own way. I want to follow my own flesh. Follow him. If you've trusted in Christ, you have a new heart. He's given you a whole new nature. And we can follow him. So sometimes when it's not fair, maybe it really is. Not really fair, but we can trust God in it, just as Jesus did. Remember what Jesus said? Right before he went to the cross? He said, Father, if this cup can pass from me, great. But not my will be done, but yours. Live your life, not my will, but yours. That's how he can reach others with his love through you. In and of ourselves, we can't show his love. We are deficient. But he is proficient. He can do it through us. He can even use cracked pots like us. Praise the Lord. If you've never trusted in Christ, please consider the fact that he is holding that out as a gift. He wants you to be his child. If you have trusted in him, continue to live your life in trust. Yield to him. These folks were thought they had it made. They thought they were God's chosen. They were self-righteous. That's all that they needed. And Christ here was pointing out that, you know what? You have a deeper need than you think. That need is spiritual. That need is your heart. And your heart needs to change. And only he can change it. But he wants to show the love of God to the world through us. He wanted to show the love of God to the world through Israel. And Israel finally said, nope, he's ours. You can't have him. I want to share God's love with everyone. Yes, you need him. Yes, the world needs his love. And we're the ones that God uses, chooses to use to share that love. Be available. Be available. Let's close in prayer.